Tuesdays and Fridays, we get together with Mike Ditka, the Hall of Famer, incredible human being, icon of the world, and my brother John, member of the National Academy of Sciences and adjunct professor, University of Illinois. Johnny's in Houston. Morning, Johnny.
How are
you? I'm great. Coach, are you there?
I'm here.
From Chicago. Good news today, gentlemen. No more Anthony Weiner stories after he resigns yesterday. Finally!
I don't know what to tell you, Steve.
There wasn't much chance of him surviving. I mean, I guess you got to try to do it, but there's no way. I mean, the media pressure would have been incredible, and it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah, and I think if you took a textbook and said, here's how not to handle crisis, it would be look under him. I mean, oh, my gosh, he dragged it out. He lied. I mean, it just all the wrong things.
Well, you know, what are you going to do when you're sinking in a ship and you got no paddles? You know, he's trying to do something. He's trying to tread water, and that's basically what he tried to do. And people just don't buy it anymore. That's all. I mean, I feel sorry for his family. I really do. But, you know, I think he made the right choice, and I think he's got to get out of the limelight for a while and try to repair his private life.
Right. Well, the Democrats were sunk. As long as it got out of hand for them.
Yep.
And so they're pretty happy about it, I'm sure. And then it'll just go away because it's really not much of a story other than he's a congressman and you're wondering what he's doing as a congressman. But other than that, it's one of those things you really don't even want to talk that much about it. I mean, it's just one of those.
Yeah, and yet we have this. It's what happens in the American media and what happens in the society. I mean, you've got that. And that story consumes, you know, things like Afghanistan and all these other places. Libya, you don't hear anything because Anthony Weiner's story's got the headline. And then you have a story that broke last night. There's pushing and fighting in the Casey Anthony trial line because people are wanting to see this train wreck. And you wonder, what are people doing? What are they doing with their lives if this is the most important thing? It's so sensational. It's unbelievable.
Well, and what about the thing in Vancouver?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the most beautiful cities you ever run in. I mean, it's amazing. And they ride over a loss in a hockey game. And why? It's just lawlessness for whoever started it. I mean, there are a lot of people hurt. I mean, there's a lot of property destroyed. This is absolutely insanity.
And I'm wondering if it was anarchists and people using it as an excuse to bust windows and steal versus a fan that's mad because they lost to the Bruins.
I think you're right. I think it's first. I don't think it's a fan that was lost.
Yeah.
I think it's anybody looks for any reason at all to create problems.
Well, Steve, you know,
Chicago.
You know, we have a representative democracy. So when we watch our leaders, guess what? Maybe we should look at what's going on with us because that's who we sent up there, and it's getting alarming. And I think we're to blame. I mean, we've lost some discipline. We've got to get a little more, I guess, moral. Moral might be a word. Nobody wants to talk about that, but it's every man for himself, and it's interesting times we live in. But
yeah.
You see it. It's like a reflection of really what we're thinking, and all these things kind of just, they're symptoms of maybe we got some issues, but, I'm always optimistic, Steve, and there's always some good folks, good folks like you and Mike out there, I know that.
Well, now, since we last spoke, the Republicans had a debate, seven of them, and Michelle Bachmann probably got the most buzz. She really got good reviews. Maybe they underestimated, didn't think that she could do much. She looked great, sounded great.
I like her. I like her. I'll tell you why. I like her because she wants to do the right thing. And I mean, I listen to all these other guys, and I have nothing against any of them. I mean, but my God, do something. You know, we become a country, and the people are at default because they elect the people. But we've become a country of not electing what's best for our country, but what's most popular. And, you know, it just, after a while, it gets crazy. I mean, it was like it's a fad, it's the end thing, we're going to elect this thing. Okay, you did it. You elected Obama, that's fine. I mean, if you're happy with him, fine. I mean, if that's what you feel you want to do, you want to elect a whole Democratic Congress, fine, do it. But, you know, when things hit the wall, don't come down and whine about it and cry about it because they are hitting the wall right now.
Well, we are accountable for what we think and do. And listen, you have to discern what's best for this country because really that's what's best for you. It really is. And you can't just take what you can get, because eventually the other shoe falls and we all suffer. I think Michelle Bachmann is a straight shooter, and I think I do like her, and I think she's she seems to have some integrity and sticks to, you know, kind of the gist of what the problem is. I think she's got some appeal too, Steve. She's smart and she's attractive.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And you know, you're talking about this field, and I think there's some good people in there, and they're, of course, downplaying the fact, oh, there's nobody exciting. And every other show, Donald Trump's talking about it. I don't know why Donald Trump's being asked every other corner what he thinks.
Well, he's an expert now. So maybe you'll have a show about politics and how to get someone to show their birth certificate.
Yeah. All right, 740, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 93.5, 95.3, the New Connect FM. NFL Talks, Mike. It looks like there's some progress, but now I read this morning on ESPN.com, there's pushback from a couple of owners. Doesn't look like anything's imminent, but maybe some progress in this thing?
I think there probably is a little bit of progress, but I agree with what there's nothing imminent. Maybe what happened here, Steve, is that both these teams, it's an ego trip. Both these sides come a little bit of an ego trip and a power struggle. It's almost like they've dug their heels in the sand and said, we're not going to give. Well, in a negotiation of any type, especially to this magnitude, somebody's got to give a little bit, and somebody's got to give a little bit on the other side. So if there's no give and take, you're going to have a big problem. And I think they're starting to realize right now that the public just is not going to tolerate this crap.
Well, I think any indication that there is some give on one side or the other is a good sign, because eventually I think things start shaking out. But we're pulling for them, Steve. I think the Saints might have we had a pretty good draft. I'd like to see those Illinois boys playing this year.
Well,
we got like four of them.
Yeah, I know. There's
They'll play football. I mean, they're hard-headed, but they're not that hard-headed. They'll play football.
Well, can they skip that New Orleans at Green Bay first game?
Yeah, I'll go with that. 15-game season.
Yeah,
no, Mike's right, though. That's a great game. But going up there playing the Super Bowl champ at home is always daunting. Now, it's a great start if you can somehow pull it off. But let me tell you, we had that game last year because the Saints won the Super Bowl, and we won that game.
We
went up to Indianapolis a couple years before that, and lost that game bad because everybody's still so excited about winning and they're all jacked up to play, and it's a night game at home. Night game at home is a pretty big advantage in the NFL.
All right, here's an issue, and I wanted to touch on it this morning because it happened, I think it was yesterday or the day before, but it was actually in Houston, Johnny, or was it in Austin? I think it was in Austin. Anyway, they had the state legislature as a committee talking to a Spanish-speaking person who wanted to talk about how bad the law in Texas is to ask about ID to see if you're an illegal. Now, the presenter spoke in Spanish. One of the guys on the committee said, you've been here since 1988. Why don't you speak in English? You're insulting us. Speak in English. And, of course, he's getting mixed reviews. Some are criticizing him for being, how can you be so insensitive? Others are saying, come on, we speak English in America.
Well, that's one of the debates. We like diversity. We brag about diversity, but, Steve, our strength is in unity. The strength of diversity is the different combinations of people who have come and agreed to believe in one group of tenets. That's what's made America great. To be diverse and everybody stay diverse, that's just a bunch of tribes. That's a tribal approach to civilization. So, and that gets back to speaking the same language. And in America, it is English. So I think I agree with the representative from Texas who said, speak here in English to us. This is English, and this is our lawmaking body, so we need to hear this in English. So, I have a respect for all the other languages, but our strength is in unity. United we stand, divided we fall. And we're getting away from that. Diversity is great, but if you keep your diversity and are insulted that someone might want you to believe what they believe, then all of a sudden we're not united anymore, and we lose that strength. So.
Well, that's my opinion. Right. You're 100% right. The identity of our whole country came about through diverse people coming here from all nations, all colors, all creeds, all religions, for one purpose, to be an American, to make the American, to live the American dream, and that's what it's all about. So if you're going to come here, and even though you may speak broken English, which my grandparents did, you learn to speak English. You take pride in that. If you don't, you go back to Mexico or you go back to Guatemala or you go back to wherever. I don't know. I'm just saying. I know a lot of Hispanic people who have come from Mexico, Guatemala, South America, everywhere. But they make it a point to learn English and speak English.
I remember when Dad came in, he didn't know much.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He one of the things he knew was ice cream, and he ordered some ice cream, and she brought him ice cream, and then he just ordered ice cream again because he didn't know anything else. And, of course, the waitress looked at him and said, "You mind telling me where you're from?"
Well, you remember he said his great disappointment. He came over. He said he wanted a beer, and they gave him root beer. He said, "This is beer?" And he didn't understand. And he went to the University of Illinois without speaking English his first year, and he said it was really hard. I said, "Yeah, it would be." So here in America, we've got to speak one language. I mean, that's not unreasonable, is it?
Well, I think it's the belief in all men are created equal. The whole start of what America is, and that's where our strength is that we agree on that. And the truth is, we're not agreeing on that as much anymore, Steve. I don't know if we're losing sight of the big picture. How's that?
Well, that's a whole liberal movement there. You know, you got the American Civil Liberties Union, you got people like that defending all this crap, and it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, I'm all for people's First Amendment rights, but come on, stop it. You know, you know what's right, you know what's wrong. You know, you can paint it any way you want to, but our founding fathers who put these things in order knew what the heck they were doing.
But you
I think it's an interesting point, and you're getting into some more controversial territory, but when you have a nation that believes that all men / women, all of us, are created equal, and people come in who don't believe that, who do not believe all people are created equal, that they are more superior, and they will treat people the way they want to, and that's their right. There's a conflict. That is a conflict with what America stands for. And we seem to want to tolerate that, and that's a problem.
Well, you go to the Driver's License Bureau here, the DMV here in Champaign, where you get your driver's license. And if you speak Chinese, they're going to rip off a page and take your test in Chinese. Do I have to pay with my tax dollar for 50 different languages, or should you be able to come in and read English?
Well, I think even more fundamentally, are you going to have Chinese signs and Spanish signs and French? How are you going to drive when you have a different language posted at every corner? You take 50 minutes to find your language to figure whether to turn right or left. It doesn't make any sense.
It's called common sense. All you got to, John, you hit it right on the button. Well, let's make all the signs. Let's put them in French, Chinese, Arabic, whatever.
Yeah.
What the hell? Have them in everything.
I don't know. And yet, you say even in this exchange in the State House in Texas, after the guy said, "You're insulting me, speak English. You've been here since 1988. Another guy said, "You know, he has his right to speak his opinion, although he doesn't speak for all of us." I said, "Thank you, Mr. Politically Correct. I appreciate that." Come on.
Well, and of course, we just saw it with the Anthony Weiner thing. You know, 30 years ago, he would have ripped his shirt, fell on the floor weeping and asking for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Today, he doesn't see anything wrong with it. I don't need to quit.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything illegal. and then he's got supporters. He's got backers.
Yeah.
So
unbelievable.
We're just evolving in a direction I don't know.
And you know, and quickly, I only got a minute in this segment left, but Newt Gingrich the other day, and I think Newt's really smart. He said, "Listen, we're in trouble here. You agree?"
Mike, what do you think?
Country-wise?
Yeah.
I read you the Lincoln thing. You cannot spend more than you make.
Yeah.
It's simple as that. Yeah. We've got ourselves into debt. We've talked about all the things this administration's talked about. They're going to bring down unemployment. They're going to do this. They've done nothing. They have done absolutely nothing. There's higher unemployment now than it was when he took office. Now, I'm not blaming him. What I'm trying to say is don't stand on these things if that's what you're standing on. And that's what they're standing on. Well, we inherited this from Bush. After a while, you get tired of that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, it's a matter, too, of understanding that you are in trouble. That's probably the biggest threat. We can do anything. Look, the American people are still pretty much first-class group of people. I'm not going to sell them short. But if we don't even understand we're in trouble, then how are you going to fix anything?
Mm-hmm.
And after this major meltdown, I think we talked about this last week. I don't see what we've done to prevent the next. I haven't seen a sea change in cutting spending or any particular man. We were lucky. We're going to do this now. I haven't seen anything change. I see a lot of regulations, a lot of lip service, no real change.
All right, we're going to come right back. Final segment next with Brother Johnny and Mike. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka join us Mondays and Fridays. Always a pleasure to get their views on all kinds of issues, and we appreciate you listening on 93.5, 95.3, the New Connect FM. U.S. Open. Boy, is there any golf tournament quite like this thing? I mean, it seemed to play easy as an open goes, but I think the greens are going to get really tough for the weekend. They want to dry them out, Mike.
Well, you know, what this kid did now, I mean, this was great golf. I mean, you know, he hit 17 fairway, never made a bogey on a U.S. Open. Come on.
Rory McIlroy.
You know, he's done is unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, so when he's kind of, now it'll be interesting to see what happens today. I mean, you know, the course is not easy. I played the course a long time ago. But for U.S. Open, it's certainly not easy. And you look at all the scores, and most of the people on the leaderboard are all Europeans.
Yeah, right. Do you see any of that, Johnny?
Well, I did, and I tell you what I've been watching is that rough. I don't know. I tell you what, you better hit the fairway.
Yeah. I mean, if you miss the fairway, you might hurt yourself digging out of the rough. I mean, it's five inches deep. It's U.S. Open time. Man.
Yeah. Well, even in local courses around Chicago, if you hit it in the rough right now with all the weather, I mean, you got it. It's really in the rough now. But you take that and you compound it by the fact that it's U.S. Open. Stop it! I mean, you got to be a magician to get it out of there.
And don't you root for this kid, Rory McIlroy? He's been in the.
Oh, he's a good kid. I like. Yeah. I tell you, got a great golf swing. I tell you what he did yesterday. He hit a par five with a. What he hit the ball with a. Driver, he hit a 370-yard drive, and he had some kind of an iron. He hit on the green and rolled off to the right on the fringe, and he two putts for a four. I mean, come on, what kind of game are they playing? He's hitting the ball. I mean, it was a 470-yard hole. Another one, he hit the ball, and he hit a wedge into it.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, Steve, you know, Steve's son Nathaniel's a great golfer, and now Nathaniel's brother Christian is he played in a tournament this week and won, and this kid is what it's. Christian's 14, right?
Yeah, right.
And I don't think I can outdrive him anymore.
it's amazing, and yet it's is it equipment? Is it physical fitness? What's happening here?
Now, Steve, I have my partner in the restaurant business. I was talking to him. He said his kid's a good golfer, Patrick. He plays at Oakmont, and he's only 15 years old. And I saw the kid. He's not a big kid. He said he hits a wedge 155 yards. I said, stop it. He's a sophomore in high school. He's trying to get on the golf team. He said right now he's fifth, I think.
Wow.
I said, you mean there's five guys better than him?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's competitive. That's the thing.
Unreal.
Well, Steve, I think it's all of that. It's the equipment, and it's also people starting earlier and learning just more and more about how to hit it. I haven't figured it out yet.
Is it still the Tiger effect?
Well, I think there's a much higher percent of physical effort in the swings, Mike. You know what I mean? I think people are swinging 90 to 100%, where for a while they had throttled at 70 to 80%. And that's from Tiger Woods. And, boy, they can hit it straight and far.
Well,
and I do the 100% every time, Steve, but I miss the ball sometimes.
You watch Roy swing the club, and his follow-through is phenomenal. I mean, he holds the follow-through until the ball lands. Stop it. I'll fall down.
I got balance.
Fall over way too long.
And, you know, we have a kid that just graduated the University of Illinois, Chris DeForest, and he, for a while, Johnny, was second on the board.
He was up there. We saw that.
Yeah.
How did he finish yesterday? I did not see how he finished. He
was minus two and doubled 18. So he's even, and he dropped from...
Wow, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
He dropped from fourth to 24th on the 18th hole, but Chris DeForest was on with Tay and Jay, our sports guys, in the afternoon. Downwind, he hit a drive once, 410.
That was his first tournament.
Yeah, PGA. He wants to play professionally, but he qualified in one of those mini qualifiers. And Scott Langley, who was so good last year, did not qualify. But Chris DeForest did. Illinois is a really good golf team. So anyway, so as far as hitting it long way, that's what's happening. The equipment and the strength and the effort and how hard they're swinging. There's no question. It's unbelievable.
It's a high risk thing, Stevie. That ball can go anywhere. I'm telling you.
No, that's right.
I'm telling you.
Well, it's fun. Okay, finally, Dallas Mavericks have a title. They had a big parade in Dallas. The city, as everywhere, is strapped for money. Mark Cuban paid the way. He's an eccentric owner, but boy, he's a pretty good guy from all accounts, I think.
I think he's good for sports. I really do. He really cares. He really takes the time and tries to put a product on the field that the fans are really going to enjoy. And I have a lot of respect. Yeah, you know, maybe he does some off-the-wall things, but you know, off-the-wall things are okay if you're doing it for the right reason. I mean, he seems to really be pouring some money into the franchise and into the city of Dallas.
Yeah.
And I think I agree. I think he's done better than maybe we expected for some of, you know, through the years. He's had that team 11 years, believe it or not.
Oh.
I can't believe that. Yeah. It just doesn't seem like it's been that long since he took a team in the NBA. But, look, it's fun when you win one, I can tell you. And good for Dallas.
Yeah.
I like that team.
Yep. Well, guys, we'll leave it here, but we'll catch up Monday. I always really appreciate both of you and your time and chatting about everything. Thanks so much for joining us, Johnny. Mike, thanks again.
Good talking to you guys.
Thank you, guys. God bless. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you. Happy Father's Day to both of you as well. Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, on the phone with us Mondays and Fridays as we discuss all issues, and I do mean all issues, and it's always a pleasure, always fun to get together. Boy, we cover the gamut, too. All right, we're going to come back. Fox News is next. How about a creative idea to get dad? We got a few ideas coming up next, and then at 8:30, don't miss this week's edition with Bill Melberg, political humorist and satirist. Bill Melberg on the phone with his wonderful political humor. That's coming up at 8:30. A little more than a half hour from right now. All right here, 93.5, 95.3, the New Connect FM. I'm Stevie J. Fox News next.